KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have 11 degrees in Atlantic. We look for some patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, predominantly partly cloudy skies with a high around 28. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. In Southwest Iowa News, the Montgomery County Auditor's Office says Red Oak businesswoman Charla Schmid has won a special election to fill a vacancy on the Montgomery County Board of Supervisors. Unofficial results from Tuesday's election show Schmid defeating Stephen Behrens 88-57. Schmid fills the District 1 seat that was left vacant following the death in September of Rudy Kennard. The supervisors had originally appointed Schmid to fill the seat in October, but a petition from residents forced a special election, which was held yesterday. The Iowa Department of Corrections Tuesday night said 26-year-old Daquan Therese White, who was convicted of robbery in the second degree and other crimes in Pottawatomie County, failed to report back to the Council Bluffs residential facility as required Tuesday afternoon. White is a black male, 5 feet 11 inches tall, weighs about 198 pounds. He was admitted to work release facility on September 9th. Anyone with information about his whereabouts should contact their local authorities. You can see a picture of that man in this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Well, the Atlantic School District's Board of Education will hold a special session beginning this evening at 6 o'clock at the High School Media Center. The meeting will be recorded and made available for viewing soon after it concludes. The board will discuss employee absences for COVID-19. Emergency paid sick leave, or EPSL, is provided under the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, but it's scheduled to expire December 31st. That means that the ESPL, which includes the extended FMLA, will no longer be available to employees for leave related to COVID-19. Employees will be allowed to use their available sick leave for one of four following reasons related to COVID-19 through the end of the 2020-21 school year. Those reasons include experiencing symptoms of COVID-19, are being tested, or waiting for test results. An employee tests positive for COVID. The employee is identified as a close contact to a person who has tested positive and has been required to quarantine by public health. Or the employee is caring for a dependent who is subject to two of the reasons I mentioned above. The board will also act to approve the resignations of Chase Roller, middle school wrestling coach, and Matthew Smith, assistant high school boys soccer coach. They'll also discuss and act on remote learner guidelines, which currently stipulate students will be required to watch live instruction and or recorded videos and submit work back to their teacher for grading. Attendance is shown by the necessary work being turned in, even if they're attending Zoom classes. And the board, as we mentioned last week, will discuss and act on district guidelines for the use of face masks. During their regular meeting on December 9th, the Atlantic School Board extended the 30-day mask mandate through the end of the first semester, which ends on December 22nd. Face coverings will continue to be required until then and toward the opening of the school year when the social distancing is not possible under that extended policy. Now, Governor Kim Reynolds is scheduled to speak this morning at 11 o'clock, and what the school board does tonight is dependent on what she has to say with regard to the COVID cases here in Iowa. The latest information from the state of Iowa's coronavirus dashboard as of just before 7 a.m. shows deaths statewide stand at 3,340. Now, those were yesterday's figures, but they have not been updated. Underlying cause deaths amount to 3,064, while 276 account for contributing factor deaths. Deaths at long-term care facilities account for 1,134 of those who died. Long-term care facility outbreaks are up from 139 yesterday to 141 as of today. The number of positive COVID-19 cases statewide is up 1,970 this morning to 260,221. The state's 14-day positivity rate has fallen from 14.3% to 13.9%, and the 7-day rate is up slightly from yesterday to 10.5%. The hospitalization data shows that there are 776 Iowans with COVID-19 in hospitals across the state. That is down from 798 yesterday. 152 COVID patients are in an ICU. That's down from 166 on Tuesday. 108 were admitted to a hospital compared to 85 yesterday, and there are currently 85 on a ventilator. Hospitals in western and southwest Iowa, that's RMCC Region 4, say there are 47 hospitalized compared to 54 previously, 12 in an ICU, 7 less than previously reported. 3 were admitted and 8 patients are on a ventilator. In our funeral announcements, Deborah Faustin, age 68 of Greenfield, died November 22nd in Johnston. A celebration of life for Deborah Faustin will be today at 10 o'clock at the Cornerstone Fellowship Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Masks will be required at the service and social distancing will be practiced. LaVon Hodges, age 91, of Dallas Center and formerly of Panora, died Saturday. Private family services for LaVon Hodges will be held today at the Twigg Funeral Home in Panora. Betty Shuler, age 95, of Griswold, died Sunday. Graveside services for Betty Shuler will be at noon today in the Noble Center Cemetery south of Lyman. Masks will be required, social distancing encouraged. Rican Dune Funeral Home of Griswold is assisting the family. Sean Havoc, age 51, of Harlan, died Sunday. A private family funeral service for Sean Havoc will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Marcus Walter Kaufman, age 81, of Erling, died Friday. A private family mass of Christian burial for Marcus Kaufman will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Evelyn Jacobson Plum, age 89, of Kansas, died Saturday. Graveside services for Evelyn Jacobson Plum will be held on Thursday at 1 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Marilyn Grable, age 58, of Audubon, died Friday in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Marilyn Grable will be held on Friday at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. Lorraine Spohr, age 59, of Manning, died December 4th. Rather, that's a Lauren Spohr. A mass of Christian burial for Lauren Spohr will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home of Manning has arrangements. Ronald Swope, age 77, of Atlantic, died November 17th. Graveside rites and military services for Ron Swope will be held in the Atlantic Cemetery on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Rican Funeral Home of Oakland is in charge of the arrangements. Walter Bud Peterson, age 80, of Adair, died Sunday. A visitation for Bud Peterson, without the family present, will be on Sunday from 1 until 5 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair. A celebration of life and interment service will take place at a later date. Norman Tagg, age 90, of Guthrie Center, died December 9th in Eldora. Private family memorial services for Norman Tagg will be at the Twigg Funeral Home in Panora. Donald Hildebrand, age 68, of Oakland, died Saturday. Memorial services for Donald Hildebrand will be at a later date. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland is assisting the family. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.